for argument is Hunt Construction v. Allianz Global Risk. Mr. Decker.
Good morning. May it please the Court. My name is David Decker, counsel for Hunt Construction Group, the appellant in this case. There's a relatively narrow issue before the Court of the statute of limitations applicable to a claim in the state of Michigan under a builder's risk policy written on inland marine forms. I believe that the issue presented has been further narrowed by the briefing of the parties. There's no dispute that the underlying claim arises out of an inland marine policy form. There's no dispute that inland marine coverage is separately defined in the Michigan Code from fire insurance. And there's no dispute that until December of 1990, neither inland marine nor other forms of multi-peril property coverage in the state of Michigan that would cover fire were subject to the mandatory obligations of the fire statute. The position taken by Allianz, and consistent with the court below, is that by reason of a December 1990 amendment of that statute, all of the mandatory obligations of the fire statute from that point forward apply to every other line of multi-peril property insurance in the state. I think it's important to focus upon the nature of that amendment. Until December of 1990, the Michigan Code specified a precise policy form that had to be utilized. In December of 1990, they enacted an amendment which said you don't have to use that precise form, but still specified the same 19 basic elements of coverage that a fire policy had to have. Then it also had a catch-all that said, and by the way, you have to have everything that was in the standard form through that date. So in our view, it was a change of form, specifically of the permissible form that could be utilized to write fire coverage, but it was not a change in the substance of what a fire policy would contain. Now, Allianz's position is that nonetheless, that change meant from that point forward, all 19 mandatory requirements of a fire policy applied to all property policies. We suggest that there's not one shred of evidence in the legislative history that that's what the legislature intended. There's not a case for that proposition.
Those provisions that don't fit the all risks policy. So, for example, as I understand it, so for fire insurance, you have to notify in 30 days?
Your Honor, there are
30 days and 60 days for the others, something like that.
Yes, but there are some far more significant differences, and let me highlight one. Under the fire insurance statute, a policy is cancelable at the discretion of the carrier on 10 days' notice, and the carrier simply must refund a pro rata portion of the premium. This Allianz policy was non-cancelable except for non-payment of premium. That's a critical difference in the context. These inland marine policies are used on major construction projects, and in this case, a $400 million project. Fast track construction, schedule is critical. If that policy gets canceled, construction stops. There is no way to replace a $400 million builder's risk policy in 10 days.
Is this fire thing, this 10 days fire and the 30 days, the short note, is this connected with concerns about arson?
Your Honor, there...
Is that a factor in fire insurance? Is that something... The carriers, we heard it, an arson case a few minutes ago. Is this something insurance companies worry about a lot?
In terms of arson, Your Honor? Well, Your Honor...
I mean, why do they want this unusual opportunity to cancel on 10 days' notice? What?
Well, Your Honor, that is a benefit to a carrier.
No, I understand, but they don't do it for the other insurance. So why do they do it? What's special about fire?
Your Honor... For one thing, if you have a homeowner's policy, for example, and it's canceled, there are other sources a homeowner can go to. There's the Michigan pool, for example, and I would submit to you that a homeowner's policy can be replaced relatively quickly. But the implication of what Allianz is saying is that every inland marine policy in the state of Michigan is now cancelable on 10 days' notice. There are enormous implications to that. Because if you accept their position...
That's clear. But is there we have the 10 days and the 30 days. Is there anything else in these 19, any of these other 19 fire provisions that are inapt to to a construction project, or that somehow are tied up particularly with the fire hazard?
I can give you another example. Under a fire policy, as defined, the carrier is given the option to repair or to take the property. And I think that's subsection N of the policy.
The insurer can take the property?
The insurer can repair or take. Under inland marine policy, like Allianz's, they have no right in any circumstance to possession or control of the property. So again, it's an enormous difference. And if you
is that provision for repair or take, is that just for residences, or would that be true with fire insurance for a skyscraper or something?
Your Honor, it doesn't specify. And I suggest to you that most people insuring a skyscraper these days do not use the standard fire policy. There are Michigan law recognizes other commercial lines of insurance. And I think the problem is that if you take their position, so suddenly you're applying these 19 requirements, not just to inland marine, but to reinsurance, to motor vehicle coverage, and so on, I can see some of the implications right off the top, for example, cancellations. But we don't know what the rest of the implications would be. Take reinsurance, for example. Typically, it's in place for a set period of time until what's called a treaty date. When the treaty date comes up, reinsurance contracts are renegotiated. If you take their position, reinsurance contracts are all now cancelable on 10 days' notice. If there's a dispute about the value of a loss under reinsurance, under their provision, we now appoint three umpires on 15 days who decide it. Losses are payable in 30 days. There's a one-year statute of limitations. There is no authority for any of that in the Michigan Code. But if you take their position, all of these requirements are put into all commercial property policies. Let me give you another example, motor vehicle policies. If you take their position, they're now subject to the fire statute. So it would be a one-year statute of limitations. In Rory v. Continental, cited in our case, a 2005 decision, the court found that they're still subject to a six-year statute unless there's a shorter period by contract. That decision would be wrong under the reasoning of Allianz and the court below because it would be subject to the mandatory one-year period. Your Honor, I see my time is up, and if I may, I'd like to reserve the rest for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Decker. Mr. Canaris?
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court. Peter Canaris on behalf of Allianz, the appellee. Let me start by summarizing our argument. The new amended section 2833 applies to each fire insurance policy issued or delivered in the state, and it shall contain the one-year suit limitation with the tolling provision. Fire insurance is a broad term or category covering many types of insurance.
What about the perverse implications that Mr. Decker listed?
I don't believe that there are any perverse locations. First of all, with respect to cancellation, the policy, if you look at paragraph 30, provides that the carrier can cancel within 30 days. And there's plenty of authority within Michigan, in fact, one of the cases that we cite, the Traveler's case, that you can extend the time from 10 days to 30 days, that the parties are free to agree to that. And that's what was done in the Allianz policy. So there is a cancellation provision, and the parties can freely contract to either to extend it, and they did. With respect to repair or replacement, you raised the question of a skyscraper. I was involved early in my career, involved One Meridian Plaza, a skyscraper located in Philadelphia. The case was pending in the Southern District of New York. It was a 35-story building. Aetna was the property insurer. They exercised their right under the standard fire policy, even though it was an all-risk manuscript policy, they exercised their right to repair or replace the damage because they believed that it could be repaired in place without needing to be torn down. This policy gives that right to Allianz as well. And it also, especially with the liquidated damages, gives them the right to come onto the site.
Is your proposition that there are no mandatory terms besides the one-year statute of limitations, no statutorily mandated terms?
Well, the statutorily...
All 19 were mandated.
The statutorily mandated terms have to be in the policy, but they can be enlarged. The parties can...
enlarged, sure. Everything can be enlarged.
Sure.
But they are mandatory, right?
Yes,
so
they are.
You can't eliminate them.
You cannot have them shorter than 10 days, but you can certainly agree on a cancellation to have it more, which is what was done here. It was 30 days. You have to have a repair or replacement clause for any policy that insures fire. That's mandated in Michigan.
Why would they be mandating that for a policy? I mean, if you look at this policy, I mean, yes, it covers fires, but it covers a lot of other things that are completely unrelated to fires. So what's the sense of converting an all-risks policy for a major construction project into a fire policy?
Your Honor, we're not converting it into a fire policy. It is a property policy which specifically includes coverage for fire.
Most of the risks that, and in this case, that occurred were not fires. So what's the point? What would be the sense of saying that even though you have an all-risks policy, which fire is only one peril, and the peril that materialized was not fire, nevertheless, all these terms of a fire policy get incorporated. What is the point of that?
The protection of the policyholder. Any policy that insures fire, that's the reason why the legislature passed it. Any policy,
well,
property policy...
Well, how does the one-year statute of limitations protect the insured?
Well, it puts into the policy minimum requirements that the carrier must provide. For example, it cannot have a shorter period of a suit limitation than 1 year. It cannot request for a proof of loss shorter than the time prescribed in the statute. There's an appraisal provision. That's a protection for the policyholder. That's why it was enacted, so that any policy that insures fire.
The policyholder is this, you know, huge construction company and so on with this all. What if it doesn't want the replacement? You know, there's no way it can get out of it, right?
That's very true.
Why? Why would Michigan want that? I understand why it has special provisions for fires, but why does it want it for contracts like this? What's the sense of it?
Well, the sense of it is that this policy, and it says straight in the policy that it insures fire and extended perils. There's a definition in the policy that says that the fire policy, fire means what it is under the statute.
I can imagine you're arguing. It'd be a little stronger, I think, better argument, if there had been a fire here. And then you'd say, well, Michigan intended, you know, victims of fire to have special protections against insurance companies, but it wasn't fire.
But Your Honor, there are many cases.
It's just senseless why they take a bunch of provisions designed for fires and apply it here.
There are many cases in which the provisions of the fire policy were made a part of the policy, and the loss did not involve fire. In fact, the district court cited to the Adelaide case, 435 Northwest 2nd, 498. There, the policy insured fire. It also insured many other perils, including riot and civil commotion. The loss was not the fire. The loss was the riot and civil commotion, and the claim was for business interruption losses. And the court applied the suit limitation even though there was no fire. We cited to other cases.
What is the sense of that? Why is that sensible? Because you have a split of authority. So why should we think Michigan would follow the senseless?
Well, that is a Michigan case. Adelaide is a Michigan case. It's not the Villa Clement case that the court also cited in Wisconsin. And it's not a senseless point.
What is the sense?
The sense is that this is a property policy. It is a short-term coverage. And the risk is written based on a short-term coverage. There is immediate notification of loss requirements. There's a time to present a proof of loss. And there's a suit limitation provision which bars claims after a year. That's because the insurance company writes this risk based on its short term of coverage. It's completely distinguished from a liability policy in which you can have long tail coverage. An event that happens now could be covered 20 years from now. That can't happen in a property policy. So what the statute is doing is conforming the laws to the purpose of the policy itself. So there's a lot of sense to this. And if I could get back to the issue, if you look at the old statute exempted Inland Marine. That's the best evidence that I can think of to show the legislative intent that fire insurance is a broad term, it's a generic term, and it included Inland Marine. Because if it didn't, then why was that statute necessary before?
So what happened in the thinking of the Michigan legislature, in your view, to make them think this exemption of Inland Marine was a mistake? What had happened? Had there been some...
There were two decisions.
Did something happen insurance world that said to the legislature, this is a mistake, all these fire... The 19 fire provisions should be in every property... insurance.
There's nothing in the legislative history or the printed documents that we could find that could find an explanation of what their thinking was. We can only interpret it based on what had happened. And what had happened was we had the Tom Thomas case and we had the Ford Motor case, both of which applied a tolling provision to a standard fire as well as to a non-standard fire policy. Before 1990, the standard fire policy did not have a tolling provision. When it was amended, and if the court looks at the statute, the tolling provision is now included. So what the court has done is made uniform that there is a tolling provision now that will apply to all types of property insurance. That's to the benefit of the insured because there is a time period in which the company is considering the claim, and also that it would apply to any policy that insures fire, irrespective of whether it's a named peril, a multi-peril, and even an automobile policy. And I wanted to talk about the Rory case for just a second. The Rory case, there's multiple coverages in an automobile policy. It's in a hybrid form. There's a general liability section, and the court pointed out that there was a different statute of limitations that applied to the general liability. In other words, if you get into an accident and you're sued and you turn to the carrier for a duty to defend, there is a different statute of limitations that applies to that coverage under the policy. It's a separate section. It's a different type of coverage. But also within your automobile policy, you have an entirely separate section that deals with property damage. What? And with respect to the property damage, the court ruled, one, that the one-year limitation was valid. That was in that policy had been approved by the insurance commissioner. So they never had to get to the issue of whether it was mandated by the statute because it was already in the policy, and they believed that the insurer could do that.
So is it your bottom line position that the fire insurance, the Michigan legislature wanted fire insurance to reach all forms of property?
All forms of property insurance coverage would be subjected to those minimum requirements.
But if that was your intent, look at the transportation insurance, which is not covered, which is property. I think we could agree, but it's not covered by the 1 year statute of limitation.
Well, there is a separate provision in the insurance code for transportation insurance. So if the Michigan legislature wanted to carve out an exception for Inland Marine or all risk or builder's risk coverage, it could have done so, as it did with, for example, marine insurance. But it did not. In fact, it repealed that exemption, making the one-year limitation part of the contract.
Of course, if they wanted to cover all property, they could have said that too, I suppose. Would be a little... make our job a little easier.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Canaris. Mr. Decker, how much time does he have? 2 minutes?
Thank you, Your Honor.
Very briefly, Your Honor, just as a point of clarification, Mr. Canaris said that this policy was not non-cancelable. He's overlooking endorsement number 2, which makes it non-cancelable, and that's absolutely common on fast-track construction projects because if they're not cancelable, you're subject to having your project shut down. He also cited 4 cases for the proposition that a fire policy can apply to additional risks. We don't disagree that if you use the basic fire form, then you can endorse it to cover additional risks. But that doesn't mean that all property policies are now fire policies. And I would also note that the 4 cases that he cites and were cited below were all decided prior to 1990. So they were all decided at a time where he concedes that the statute did not apply to inland marine. So if they didn't, so I don't see why they would mean it does apply to inland marine at this point. You ask a question about transportation. In fact, under their reading, transportation would be covered by the fire statute. This policy covers, among other things, materials in transit. It doesn't just cover property in the state of Michigan. It covers materials either in storage or in transit anywhere in the United States or Canada. So he would have this apply if a barge sinks in Lake Erie with our steel trusses. He would say that's subject to the fire statute because that's what this policy covers. He also mentioned the Via Clement case in Wisconsin. I would simply note that in that case, the Wisconsin Insurance Commissioner had passed a regulation saying the 1 year applied to fire and in the marine and all risk. So it's a completely different situation. In the Rory case, he said that the court upheld a 1 year period. That's right, because it was in the policy. But the court said if the 1 year period was not in the policy, it would be subject to the 6 year period. And the policy at issue there is within the motor vehicle statute, and the motor vehicle statute is one of the 6 that were previously in the exemption. Lastly, as implications, I would note the following. They are conceding they didn't comply with the fire statute, that they're in violation. One of the implications of that is the insurance commissioner can revoke their license. If this court decides that the fire insurance policy applies to all property policies in the state of Michigan, I submit to you that there are all sorts of carriers who are not putting the fire statute into motor vehicle policies, into aircraft policies, into inland marine policies, into reinsurance policies. So what he is suggesting is that most carriers writing some sort of property policy in the state of Michigan are subject to having their licenses revoked. And again, where there's not a shred of authority for that in 17 years since this has been passed. And as my final point, as you noted, all the legislature did was change the form, not the substance, in 1990. If they were going to, at the same time, have this sweeping change in the law, there would have been some hint that that's what they intended to do. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much to both counsel.